Many newspapers have called it the greatest club game ever. The strength of Munster rugby has always been the big boys up front.
I'm actually really, really excited for it.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
OTB AM. With Gillette, put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
Right, on Friday night, Kieran McGeary of Tyrone was named the PwC GAA GPA Footballer of the Year for 2021 after his brilliant summer of football. PwC are proud sponsors of the All-Star Awards, and we are delighted to welcome Kieran to the show right now. Kieran, how are you getting on?
Fine, thank you, lads. Pleasure to be on here this morning now.
Congratulations, Footballer of the Year. I think the cliched answer is that no, people don't care about their individual accolades, but I presume being crowned the best footballer in the land is a fairly sweet thing to have on a Friday night.
Yeah, look, I'm delighted and honoured to pick up the award now, so now, but it was part and parcel of a lot of hard work that's put in from a lot of people. Friends, family, club, they've all done their part to make sure that I was able to perform in the big days, so it will be a massive amount of thanks. But no, I am. I'm delighted. It's a massive accolade to have, one that I wanted from, one that you dream of from childhood. You sort of never think you're going to get it, so you don't. But look, whenever my name is called out the other night, now I was absolutely thrilled.
A lot of players say that they privately target this sort of thing, that they write a list and they have certain goals down. Was becoming an All-Star or perhaps even All-Star Footballer of the Year an individual goal that you had set for yourself?
I suppose it was, yeah. In one sense, it always is an achievement that you want to be able to get, regardless of whether you represent your county in the final or not. To be able to get an All-Star shows your individual, you know, talent that you had that year that you've shown. So yeah, it was definitely something that I wanted to pick up. I know it would be something that any single county player would want to get their hands on. It was a nice one to have now in the mantelpiece.
I guess your year in 2021 is kind of a microcosm of Tyrone's year, where you seem to make a step up this year to be in the conversation, to actually be winning an award like this, as did the team. I think that there was possibly quite a lot of doubts over Tyrone before 2021 about whether or not they could be All-Ireland champions. I'm sure that was a hugely motivating thing, but for you personally, why was 2021 such a good year for you?
It was a number of things. We had a number of new boys who came into the panel and brought new blood about it, brought a new energy about it. We had a new backroom team and new management involved, and they all brought their own wee small individual parts as well. And on top of that, I suppose a lot of the boys are moving on, including myself. And there's a lot of boys there who know they should have achieved more to date than what they have. So a good kick up the backside was required individually to a lot of us. And, you know, perhaps this year just kicked into place. You know, it wasn't looking great at the start of the year. I remember us going to play a few challenge games and we couldn't win them with probably a lot of our stronger players on the pitch. Then we went to Killarney and everybody's seen how that went. And even first round in the championship against Cavan, we looked good. Second round, we started to build and everything just started to get better and better and better. And then we obviously hit the whole COVID thing within the camp. And you're thinking, all right, there, that's it, finished now. But we continue to progress on through. So it's just been a mad year. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't honestly put my finger on one particular point that has been the reason for it all clicking together.
What did the kick up the backside look like? Was that one of the managers pulling you aside, giving you a few home truths, or what was that?
No, just everything. Media, papers, home to your own county, get home to your own club. And you sort of seen and heard and knew the disappointment that was among it, and you knew that you should have represented the county a wee bit better than what you did. So we sort of all knew that we would never let ourselves down a bag full of that again, like we did that day. Now, we tried new things that particular day and they didn't work out in our favour, but, you know, they needed to be tried and we just, unfortunately, were on the wrong side of it. A complete whooping.
Was there a specific thing that was written when you mentioned the media coverage that sticks out in your mind at this point?
Not really, I know, just all the headlines. Any paper you picked up, it was something to do with the Tyrone just couldn't handle the kingdom, you know, the normal, and it was so true. Sure, like, they put six passes that day, several points. Some boys never even got hands in the ball. It's just, look, that was the way it was. It didn't need to be any particular headline. A picture would have done it after the game. I remember being on my knees in the huddle thinking, like, right, where do we go from here? Had you told me that 90 days later we'd been walking up the Hogan steps, I probably would have, in one sense, laughed at you.
Why did things change so dramatically then, Kieran? What was actually executed in the camp over the course of the following couple of weeks? Because we've asked this of a lot of people, and they're, everybody's perspective is a little bit different from one another. So from your own personal perspective, what changed in the aftermath of that hammering?
Probably a reality check, first and foremost, as to where we were at and maybe where we thought we were at over the last number of years. We have been competing in and around top tier to some extent. Obviously, the year before we were knocked out first round in Ballybuffet, and that was a difficult one with no back door. And maybe we thought, in one sense, that we were perhaps better than what we were. We needed to be reminded of that by a few of our coaches who've been there, wore the jersey, and done the business, and been successful in not one, two, or three All Ireland finals. So, whenever we heard that, then maybe it was time for reality check. But in terms of training, just everything was upped. Do you know when you get an ass whooping like that, you can't think to yourself, right, here, you need to do something here. Everybody is in with a chance of losing their position here, and we're in with a chance of getting knocked out yet again in the first round of a championship to the provincial champions at the time, who were Cavan. So we had a massive task first round, and we genuinely never looked beyond that. Maybe in the years gone past, we might have, but we genuinely never looked past Cavan. So there was exposure to a lot of stuff that maybe we hadn't been exposed to in the past, due to the game evolving. And our coaches were exceptional this year. Pete Donnelly's expertise, Big Joe McMahon, you know, he's done the pitch. Collie Holmes have all been exceptional. And then with the guidance of Brian and Fergal, just there was so much different things went on without giving anything away, but things needed to be lifted after that game.
That Cavan game is an interesting moment in your season, Kieran. You got taken off at half time, I think.
Yeah, I did. And rightly so. I had to hold my hands up again. I have an awful high tackling issue. So I was trying to improve it. Like any player would try to improve their faults. I'm trying to get on top of it, obviously. And that game just showed that maybe I wasn't doing exactly what I needed to do, but I got bits of advice after that game that I took on board then for the rest of the season, and thankfully the hands stayed slightly lower than where they should be.
Is that advice? Are you good at taking that advice? Is it friendly advice? Is it
I don't mind advice at all, you know, especially if it's going to help the game. I'm a massive person for, well, perhaps giving it out sometimes. So if you can give it, you have to take it. But I was actually Tiernan McCann, the fella on the team. I'm sure you all know him, deadly footballer. But he gave me the advice that I want you to imagine that you're on a Yannick yard already. So I think it was a good bit of advice. I've actually given it out to a few younger ones who are so tenacious in the tackle and want to get the ball back, but sometimes just jump in, and sneaky forwards will allow you to do that, and they'll jump in and they'll hit the floor. But he just gave me a piece of advice where when you go onto the pitch, I want you to really, really imagine that you're already on the Alec yard, and imagine your next tackle is your last ditch tackle. So I brought that piece of advice on board, and thankfully seen out all the rest of the games throughout the year.
The Donegal game after that is really obviously seminal in terms of the whole country kind of waking up to your role within the team. And even within that, there's like, as far as I know, you start the match man-marking Michael Murphy. It's a very difficult task for anybody to do, and he gets sent off, which gives you the opportunity then to get on more ball. Is that an evolutionary point in your own role in the team over the course of the season, or do you think your role would have evolved the way it did anyway, irrespective of that match?
Honestly, I don't even know, because it was different tasks on different days. So there was Brian and Fergal could have changed their minds at the last second and give anybody a particular road. And we wouldn't have been shocked to see any one of the players, one of 35, come on and do a job, because there had been men showing up at training in a savage way and perhaps weren't getting their chance in the team. And that's just part and parcel of the strength you have in depth. But that Donegal day, like, the heat that day was serious. First 2 minutes, you're absolutely busted. I think you can't stick with the pace of the game. But I suppose that's just, you know, Lucifer's the rivalry between ourselves and Donegal in a championship game, with the sun spitting the trees, and we were back to a crowd filled pitch, and it was fantastic. So that was a big game for us, because we wanted to prove that we were better than the first round of the championship game. in the conditions, in the pitch of the walls, you know, keep looking back to pieces of luck, and we keep getting asked the question, you know, about what was the biggest piece of luck he's had all year, you know, that penalty miss, should Michael have put that away? Would that put in five in front with 2 minutes to half time? You know, God knows what could have happened after that, but it's just wee small things to get. In terms of myself playing that position, I don't even know who I was marking that day, to be quite honest. I just run and grab the closest green and yellow jersey beside me. I think a lot of us were doing the same. It made it look like we were structured, but there was a bit of madness on the pitch at the time. And luck, we get through that one, and we seen out Monaghan as well. So we're just wee bits of luck at the end of the day.
That's really interesting, Kieran, because it definitely felt that this was quite an important year in terms of the development of football, where there was a certain positionless nature to the way you guys played, to the way Mayo played as well, it certainly felt. So I think it's kind of telling that you were the two teams in the final. What was that like as a player, Kieran, knowing that the number on your back is more meaningless than ever, that essentially you could be up at corner forward or back doing a man-marking job on Michael Murphy, for example?
Hey, do you know what? Play in the moment. If you're given a responsibility, you're a good enough footballer, you'll be able to do it. As many a time this year, I've seen Paddy Hampsey running up past me and kicking scores, or Michael McKiernan, and then away back to corner back to do a job on Aidan O'Shea or David Clifford, whoever they were marking this year. So if they can do that and not complain about it, there's no reason why, if given the chance, that I can go back and try and mark someone in corner back. I was out in Boston in 2015, lads. It was a laugh. I was actually putting corner back there. So I was played corner back the full season out there. Chris Lafferty, a boy from Killyclare, we were out living with him. He stuck me in corner back. So that was my first days at corner back. And I was stuck in there along with some serious players. Mine one day, I got 3-6 scored on me. 3-6. So,
Who scored it, do you remember?
Do you know, I can't even mind his name here now. He used to be the big full forward for Kildare. He's sort of big, curly hair. Big, huge boy. Can't remember his name, lads.
Not Daniel Flynn, obviously, is it?
No, not Daniel Flynn.
Curly
no.
hair forward.
Yeah, he was massive. He used to be a big full forward. Seen him coming in one day to mark me. That was the end of my cornerback day, so it was...
Tomás O'Connor.
Nightmares on that man.
Wow. So you might just have got him back in the Kildare team with that story.
So Boston and Tomás O'Connor are to thank for you picking up the gong on Friday night.
He part and parcel of the reason, yeah.
That's mad. So, well, what had been your position at underage level, Kieran, and how did that develop up until Boston and up until this season?
Do you know what? I'm heading further backwards. I'm actually in school here this morning where it started off with. Started off in corner forward. You couldn't have got me out of the square. I was a wee mooch. Literally did not leave the box. Somebody else would have come running in, done the work, fisted it across to me, and I'd have been standing at the back post, palm it in. And then as the years went on, I just sort of moved to wing half forward, played a bit of midfield with my club, then into the wing half back and on the 21s. 21s to a couple of months later, playing corner back in Boston. Then back to wing half back, then back to half forward. So I'm kind of moving back up the pitch here, but I don't think I'm gonna be heading back into the corner anytime soon.
Niall Morgan would want to watch his back.
Oh no, I don't know about that thing.
So when you're talking about that sort of the way that actually operates in game, and you're saying that you see Hampsey running over your shoulder, beyond your shoulder, scoring like that amazing point at the start of the All-Ireland final, for example, is the responsibility on the players, Kieran, in the Tyrone setup to make those decisions for themselves, or is there a good bit of coaching that goes into what you should be doing at all those moments?
I suppose that's both. You can be coached by the best, and we are coached by the best, but you have a decision to make as well in that split moment, and you make a decision based on the team and if it's the best call to make. And if you trust yourself and you back yourself and the mistake and the decision you make doesn't pay off and ends up being a mistake, so be it. Like, you know, we know that you didn't make it lighthearted. It's something that's just incredible in football, where somebody makes a mistake, everybody starts shouting. You know, there's nobody knows more that they made a mistake than the person who's just made it. So they normally don't need people on their back. But funny, that's one thing at senior level you don't really hear things like that happening. You know, if you make a mistake, you make a mistake. So be it. It's next play, next ball, and that's probably your reaction is down to coaching. it's very easy to stand and watch and, you know, say, oh, hard luck, and then one person work back after the ball. But if you have 14, 15 dogs trying to get the ball back, you're going to be a hard team to beat. So it's probably a bit of both coaching and decision making. And normally you don't see a lot of bad decisions being made. If they go for a shot or they go for a pass, they had a genuine reason to do so.
Kieran, just one last thing we wanted to ask you about before we let you go this morning. We were chatting about it earlier. There's been just a couple of more instances, one incident in particular on Saturday where the referee essentially had to get an escort off. I'm sure you saw it in the Padraig Pearce's Mount Ballymoyloch game after the players went after him, essentially, after a couple of bad decisions in their view. It's not the first time you've seen this, unfortunately, in the game over the last little while. It's been a topic of conversation as a result of an Oireachtas committee not too long ago as well. From your experience, Kieran, maybe in Tyrone, even at inter-county level as well, how much more needs to be done in terms of the relationship between the players and the referee to create a greater level of respect? Because it does seem at the moment that something's not right, something's going wrong somewhere in that relationship.
Yeah, do you know what? We've all been there where fire's in the belly and you're up for the game and a decision doesn't go your way and you're on the brink of defeat to maybe the final whistle of those. I only seen a small snippet of the reaction from the players towards the referee. And look, when the heat's up at that moment in time, it sometimes is hard to stop yourself. But take a step back, and I always like to say, if that referee was a relation of your own, would you like that to happen to them? And it wasn't an easy position that the referee found himself in, unfortunately, and it probably wasn't an easy position for the lads who reacted like that, because some of them were trying to help the ref, some of them were trying to just tell them what they thought, give them a piece of their mind, and it's a difficult one. So it is, it's not fair on the referee, and maybe to some extent he needs full fact and full proof of what happened. And I know that would be so hard to bring into every age group and every you know, club level, inter-county, whatever it was, but if you go to rugby, for example, it's based on facts. They watch it. Watch the decision, you know, 3-4 times around before they make a call on it. Now, I'm not saying VAR or nothing in the game here, but I don't know, maybe a second set of eyes would on the pitch maybe at the time. Second set of eyes maybe along the lane. I know he has lanes been there, whatever, but it's a tough one. Like maybe just a second opinion that doesn't maybe leave the referee up to making that final call. It's really a tough one to make because they do such a fantastic job and they constantly train and they constantly get help and advice on how to make decisions. But it's like everything in life, you just can't keep everybody happy. And the one second you make a mistake, you're doomed if you do and you're doomed if you don't.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. Listen, Kieran, you've been great with your time this morning. Just a reminder, he is the PwC GEA GPA Footballer of the Year for 2021. Congratulations, Kieran, on all your success and a fantastic 2021. Thanks, Millie, for being with us.
Thanks, lads. Appreciate Cheers. It.
Thanks, Millie.
Best of luck.
OTB AM. With Gillette, put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.